Well, good afternoon, everyone. This is Wednesday, August 6th, 2025, and this is a collective bargaining session between the UFF chapter at UCF and the team representing the Board of Trustees at UCF. And the first order of business, as we normally do, is to review our minutes from our last bargaining session, which I believe is on July 16th.
I'm good with that, Chuck, if you want to pull the trigger.
I am happy to say those are okay. I'm not going to pull any triggers.
All right. It's up to you. It's your show.
All right, thank you. We got minutes from the last meeting. one of the things that I wanted to do today is just take a moment to talk briefly about Article 23, which we are working on now. I had the opportunity 2 weeks ago to meet with the president and the former provost now to talk about our status with collective bargaining. We had a good meeting, and one of the things that we did during that meeting is reviewed the information about the proposal that the UFF had given us a few months ago for Article 23. So we talked a little bit about that. And now as we go forward, I don't have a proposal today, but I'll be coordinating with the new provost, the president's office, and other offices on campus on a response. So I'm hoping we get a response very soon. I can't promise a date today when that will be. I do have some information that I think is pertinent for this. For fiscal year 26, which is the year that just started, UCF really got no new unrestricted recurring funds. The recurring funds, the new recurring funds that we got a year ago was very helpful in determining what the raise would be, the increases that we got last fall. So it does appear that there's less money that's available, but we are trying to come up with a proposal for you. I fully expect that it will be more modest than what you had presented to us, but we're working on this, trying to get something to you as soon as we can. The information, it's helpful for us to have the proposal that you submitted to us, because we can see, you know, the kinds of things that are important to the members of the bargaining unit, what kinds of things that you know, you'd be interested in seeing. And I believe in order of their presentation in the proposal, not so much in any other order, there are things like increases in the promotion raises that are mentioned. There's a one-time payment. There's merit increases, a fixed percentage. There were some increases proposed for employees with lower salaries. Suggested that we do increases in base salary for success with a post-tenure review rather than the one-time payments that we've done the first 2 years. It's also a suggestion for additional incentive awards. And we didn't reach any conclusions during our meeting, but I got the very real sense that there are some of those things that are perhaps more interesting to the university than others, if we're not able to provide everything that's being requested. There's some things that may be of interest. And one that comes to mind is one that we had actually included in a proposal that we had a year ago, the idea of increasing promotion raises. I think there may be some interest in that. I'm not saying that we can do that immediately, that we can do it for the coming year, but you know, I think that's one that it is certainly worthy of more conversation. And if the UFF is so inclined, it may be very interesting for us to know sort of a ranking. What's the most important thing? I know in an ideal world, everything that you requested is reasonable. It's just we're not in a position where we can fund all that. But if we had a sense of what's the top wish list, top wish on the list, and so forth, that might be interesting for us to know that. So we're going to continue to work on Article 23. It's good that we have a new provost in place. He'll be involved in the conversations about this, and we look forward to working with him on this. I want to share what I consider to be a bit of very hopeful news. I don't recall seeing any kind of an official announcement about this yet, but I believe there's very little question that UCF will achieve preeminent status this year. And I know that's something that we've said that we as an institution wanted to work toward, and there were decisions made to try to put us on a path to preeminence. And every indication that I've seen so far, again, I don't have a final guarantee on this, but I fully expect that we're going to learn that we've achieved preeminence now. And what that will do is hopefully affect the budget we get from the state for fiscal year 27. So it doesn't affect the budget that we have now, but hopefully a year from now it will affect us. A bit of mixed news on this: for fiscal year 26, the preeminent institutions received additional one-time monies and not recurring monies. So that was a change. And I don't know, what's going to happen in fiscal year 27, but thanks to the good work of the faculty and many other employees at the university, it certainly looks like UCF is going to be in that preeminent status now, and that opens up possibilities for additional funding for us, which we're excited about. So I ask that you continue to be patient with us as we work through the budget information that we have now and work on preparing a proposal for you on Article 23. And I'm hopeful that we can get that to you soon. I don't guarantee that that will be at the next bargaining session, but we're going to continue to work on this and try to get something as soon as we can. So thank you for the chance to update you, and thank you for your patience and understanding as we work through this. Robert, any questions?
I don't have any questions. I have a comment if you want to comment.
Sure.
So, I mean, I don't have to do a survey now to know that a percentage raise of the base salary is probably the most desired thing on the part of the bargaining unit. But I will bring back your requests to the team and see if they want to do a survey of the bargaining to see what items in our proposal people favor more than others. But I think what would come up in that survey would be a percentage raise of the base salary, because we've been lagging both with the economic downturn from 2009, and then with the pandemic, we've been treading water all around, not just those of us at the university, but those of us that are living in Central Florida. So that is where the relief is most needed, and that's what I would communicate to the president and provost as far as where the emergency is in a salary article.
Okay. All right. And thank you for sharing that, because that's helpful to know. I'm not surprised that you would indicate that that's number one on your list. But thank you for letting
I
me
would like to think it's our list, Chuck, the entire bargaining unit. It's just my list. I'm
know.
not Santa Claus.
Well, that
This
was a
is
plural
the whole
your
bargaining unit. Okay.
that I
Plural year. Okay, we'll
I'll
take
try
that.
to be more clear in my pronunciation.
Thank you.
Chuck Talat has her hand raised.
Hey, Talat.
Hi. So, Chuck, I would also like to suggest that you convey to the provost what others in the bargain in the SUS, in the Florida University system, the raises that have been given at other places. If you would like, we can prepare a list for you. You probably know this already, but if you would like us to send you a list, we could send it to you by Monday.
Well, we have some information and certainly can get it. If there's anything you want us to share, anything you want us to have, we're happy to take it. We appreciate that.
Okay, because we did have a meeting and we did find out about raises that have been given in a number of places. And, you know, the financial situation is sort of similar in most cases, but, you know, we just want to make sure that the new provost understands what's going on.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you. Appreciate any information that you want to share with us.
All right. Thanks.
Okay, Robert, I think you're next up to talk about some responses to a couple articles.
Yeah, so I mean, I can combine them both. The team met and we're willing to sign off on the 8 and the 19 you presented us in the last session.
That is fantastic news. So I think what we'll do is, I don't remember that we had any outstanding questions on those. That, you know, what we proposed last time we thought was good to go. So that's awesome. Robert, we will get copies ready for your signature and mine. We'll get those to you soon.
All right.
That is fantastic news. Fantastic. Okay, I guess it's back to me. And we wanted to share with you a draft MOU that we've got that would accompany basically Article 20 on grievances. And I'm pretty sure that I mentioned this last time we got together, that the document that you had shared with us from Florida Atlantic University, we thought was very interesting. And we looked at it very carefully, and we've put together a draft MOU that is really based on the model that FAU had. And I think Charlie's going to display that here so we can talk a little bit about it. I don't necessarily want to read through the whole thing, particularly the whereases. But what we see is what we would like to do, our preference would be to come to terms on an MOU that we would use to create an additional optional stage in the grievance process. And again, this is modeled after what was shared with us from Florida Atlantic University. If somebody chooses to invoke this additional optional stage, great, we'll do it. If they don't, we just go with the language as it is in Article 20 for that particular grievance. And I'll try to touch a little bit on each of the bullet points. The second one, it says, you know, within 30 days of ratifying the MOU, we want the UFF to notify us of at least 6 in-unit members who could serve on these internal advisory panels. And then, so long as this MOU would be in effect, we'd like to have any updates given to us between September 1st and September 10th each year, updates on that list. And the way we would propose that we proceed, again, one of the things that was really interesting about the internal advisory panels that FAU had come up with, the panel was invoked before the step 2 decision is finalized. And that seemed like a neat thing, because one of the challenges that I thought we had before with some of the things that we talked about, it didn't always work if there wasn't a step 1. And now it doesn't matter whether there's a step 1 if the internal advisory panel is initiated during the step two process, just prior to the completion of the step two report, so or the step two decision. So we're suggesting here in the third bullet point, you know, within 7 days after the step two grievance meeting and before any step two decision is finalized, and I can pretty much guarantee that there won't be a step two decision finalized in the first 7 days after a meeting, then either the university representative or the grievant or the grievance representative, if the grievant happens to be represented by the UFF or by outside counsel, any of those parties may request in writing, and we're suggesting to our office that the grievance be referred for review by a three-member internal advisory panel. And when that request is made, the UFF will appoint two employees from their list of at least six people that are candidates to serve on these panels. And because we got these folks lined up, hopefully in advance, we're hoping that that can be done within 3 days so we can keep this process moving. And then after the UFF has appointed two people to serve on the IAP, the university will then appoint a non-union administrator to serve on the IAP within 3 days as well. And we thought this was a really neat thing that FAU had done, and we want to try to adopt it. We're proposing it here, that the UFF has two members on this panel and the administration has one. Because the whole purpose of this is, you've explained it, is, you know, the administration needs to hear from the faculty. We need to hear what the faculty are saying about this particular situation.
I'm sorry, Chuck. I got to interrupt you because you're speaking something I did not say. What I said is important. We have an independent voice in the process. I never said it was a faculty voice. I said an independent voice.
All right. Thank you. Thank you for clarifying. But we are interested in hearing from the faculty and from the membership on this. And that's why we are proposing the same thing that FAU has in their internal advisory panel, which is two members from the bargaining unit. I don't know if it's, yeah, I guess Charlie's, do we, the second page is in the middle there. When these members are selected by the UFF and by the university to try to get some modicum of independence, they're not going to be from the same department or unit as the grievant, and there shouldn't be any conflict of interest either in the matter that's being grieved or with the grievant, whenever that's possible. And we think in almost every case that will be possible to have people who, even if they are not from outside the institution, they can be outside the unit of the grievant. And that gives us some modicum of independence. As the IAP convenes, they will have access to the grievance filing that the grievance has submitted. And if it applies, they would have access to the written step one decision. If a grievance is being started at step two, obviously there wouldn't be a step one decision, but if one is available, the IAP would have access to that. And the IAP may also request additional materials of interest from the university representative and step two reviewer. So there may be something that the IAP says, you know, we would like to have this information. This would help us. We'd like to try to do that, to provide that whenever that's possible. And then within 14 days of the appointment of the full IAP, the three members, the IAP will provide the reviewer, the step two reviewer, and the university representative a PDF file with its written non-binding findings and recommendations for each of the articles or sections of the CBA.